Alicia Minor, situated in the agency. And again, this epistle, generally, I mean, this church is supposed to be generally Epaphras founded or known to be to have founded in those times. And afterwards, Epaphras was ministering to this church. And then Paul, according to some evidences here, may never have been into this place. But he knew all these people working in the ministry there, and then he was just trying to help them, encourage them in the word. Some of the evidences that are shown in his writing is in verse number 4. In verse number 4, it says here, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." So he just heard of the devotion. He just heard of the working of God in this place. And in verse number 9 of the same chapter, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Who's this? Verse number 7 is mentioned there, "as he also learned of Epaphras." So again, in verse number 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And actually, Apostle Paul was writing this towards the people in Colossae. So, but the object of his writing, that he wrote this letter and sent this letter, is to help and guide, these people in Colossae, and especially on the aspect of the teaching, because there are so many heresies, there are so many problems, serious problems doctrinally, that come into the teaching of the church. There are false doctrines coming in, and then there was this mixture of speculative Oriental mysticism, and also, of course, the Judaistic legalism. So all of this coming into this church. And we understand that the mysticism here denigrates the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even until today, these people, the Eastern religion, they do not really they do not understand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his position and what we know of the Lord in the Bible. And also, the other problem is the Judaistic legalism, which propagates the false notion that salvation can be obtained by our own works and our labor, in our own, working, that we can gain salvation of our soul. Although this was written already 2,000 years ago, it seems to me that even until today, this kind of teaching is still in our midst. That even many Christian denominations still believe that salvation can be obtained. Salvation can be obtained by our own works. And that is why I believe this is not just the writing written to address to the Colossians, but also perhaps to our church today. This is also addressed to every church today. And again, we can really trace the heresy. The heresies of today, the heresies of the churches today, can still be traced in the heresies that happened in Colossae. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1 to 8, we can find there that the Apostle Paul gives us this five-fold description. He described these people and himself and the Lord Jesus and even Epaphras and Timothy. He describes all this. And it's amazing to see that his description, I believe, is true and factual. His description of this, as he mentioned here in the in his writing from verse number 1 to verse number 8, you can find that his description is, I believe, is true. First, if you can find it in verse number 1 and 2, you can find that Apostle Paul described the Lord Jesus Christ. He described him well. Because, you know, we understand that the Eastern religion and many other religions in the world, they disparage, they denigrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people in this world, you know, joke about the name of the Lord Jesus. They made the name of the Lord Jesus a cuss word, a swear word. And in fact, many Christians also are sometimes, you know, riding along with the blasphemies of the world. I hope and pray that none of us in our church will make the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a swear word. If possible, you can avoid the word OMG. Avoid it. It doesn't help us and it doesn't do you good. And avoid all the, you know, while people are cussing and swearing and using the name of the Lord in vain, we will not have it in our heart. We will not have it in our lips, in our mouth. Let them say what they want to say of our Lord, but we will use the name of the Lord Jesus only with respect, only with, you know, a seriousness. We will not use it for mere chat with other people and to make it sound funny. The Apostle Paul here, knowing of this situation, he describes the Lord Jesus Christ well. He describes, because in those times, the false teaching which had come into the church at Colossae and those derogatory words toward the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Apostle Paul spoke of the name of the Lord Jesus in threefold way. The first thing that you can find in verse number 2, Apostle Paul gives the Lord Jesus Christ's name the full title. He has he just said it as he names it. He does not hide what is the real person of the Lord Jesus Christ in his description of him. In verse number 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is heavy. That is really heavy. He put forward the name of the Lord Jesus Christ equivalent to God the Father. And in verse number 3, he said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So he puts forward the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the full title of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that in verse number 2 and also verse number 3. In other words, my friends, here today in our church, let us give our Lord Jesus Christ his full title. Let us, exalt, let us elevate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not worry about people cussing and do other people swearing his name. They will laugh at you for sure. Many of them will laugh at you and will have a scorn in their hearts. But don't worry about them. Just speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if it is, you know, appropriate to speak in his name, even in public. And do not worry about what other people may say. That is Apostle Paul right there. He said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, he said here, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You see, Apostle Paul, he gives full emphasis of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives his title, the full title of the Lord Jesus. And another thing, the Apostle Paul emphasizes his deity. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at here in verse number 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul mentioned God as our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he puts these two together in a unique sense. Although we are children of God, but you know, Jesus Christ is different. The Lord Jesus Christ is a deity. Apostle Paul emphasizes here the deity. He is not ordinary man. The Lord Jesus may be 100% man, but he is also 100% God. So that is, being the Lord Jesus being unique in here. And Apostle Paul, he designates the Lord Jesus Christ as the second person in the Godhead. So because this is now the place, perhaps there are people in Colossae that view the Lord Jesus Christ differently than the rest of the people in the church. So the Apostle Paul put it forward. And that is how we greet the Lord Jesus. And that is how we believe in him. He is the Son. He's God the Son. He is a deity. He is a God. He is our Savior. He is the one that the propitiation for our sins. So here he designates the Lord Jesus Christ as the second person in the Godhead. So here we can see that the Trinity is mentioned in this writing. From verse number 2 and verse number 3, Apostle Paul mentioned of the Father. And in verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3, verse number 4, and verse number 7, he mentions about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And also in verse number 8, he mentions about the Holy Spirit. So from verse number 1 to verse number 8, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is all laid down there by the Apostle Paul. And that is how he describes the deity of the Lord Jesus. He describes the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing, he describes also himself. He describes himself in his letter. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1. Colossians 1:1, the Bible says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now, again, the description here is threefold. The description of Paul about himself can be found, first of all, he said, I am an apostle. An apostle. That means he is the sent one. He was not sending himself. He was sent by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. No apostle became apostle because of their own self-sending. I believe also the same is true in the pastorate. No pastor is self-sent. A pastor must be sent by God. No person can come forward and say that he is a pastor if he is not sent by God. The calling of Apostle Paul, he is the sent one. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who called all the apostles. Among many disciples, he picked 12. Now in Luke chapter 6, verse number 13. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, the verse number 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. So there are more than 12, but only 12 were chosen. Is it here? And he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, of whom also he named apostles. Again, these are apostles because of certain, you know, we call it, there are qualifications to become apostles. Our church, Bible Baptist Church, we do not believe that any church today can name any living apostles. There is no living apostles. Because to become an apostle, there are qualifications to that. Number one qualification is that that person who is called apostle must have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. So no one can, in our times today, could see the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And another qualification of an apostle is that he must have been the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, not one person living today who had witnessed that in our times today. Therefore, we do not believe that there is a living apostle. The apostles are only those named by the Lord Jesus Christ, and also Apostle Paul being the apostle by the will of God. Now notice here, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 21, when Judas fell because of transgression, his sin against God, he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now, Judas committed suicide, he died, and therefore only 11 left in the apostleship. So they installed another person to become an apostle. And notice here in verse number 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, he sees the Lord Jesus with his eyes. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So the requirements of becoming replacement of Judas, the requirements are, number one, he must have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in and out. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he performed miracles when he preached the gospel, when he visited the places, when he preached in the gospel ministry. That person must be there, and also that person must have been baptized by John. So these two requirements, all the apostles today fail. If they have churches today that have apostles, they fail, and they fail miserably. They cannot be apostles. Pastor is okay, but not an apostle. Is it here in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This is now Paul, Saul. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Again, Apostle Paul, he claimed to be an apostle. He was an apostle indeed. He had seen the Lord Jesus. And again, he is a very special apostle. Not the kind of apostle that the Lord Jesus Christ became in those times, but this Apostle Paul became an apostle by the will of God. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And again, an apostle, not just of any person, but of the Lord Jesus. He was an apostle, and an apostle of the Lord Jesus. Not just an apostle of the church, but an apostle of the Lord Jesus. That is a wonderful, special function there of a person. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was a special messenger. A special messenger of the King of Kings. And I believe also, brothers and sisters, we are all special messengers of the Lord. You can share the gospel to the people around you. And you are God's special messenger. You can be God's, mouthpiece. You can be God's messenger to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of the souls of men. He, Apostle Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a special function. All of us have functions. All of us have things to do for the Lord Jesus. Can you figure out in your mind what are the things that Jesus Christ wants you to do? I think there are a lot of things that will come into our mind. God wants me to share the gospel. God wants me to study the word of God, study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you will know the gospel, so that you will know the doctrine, so that you will be able to teach. You see, God wants us to understand all these things. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are also ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Apostle Paul was an apostle, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, he was an apostle by the will of God. Again, Apostle Paul talks about his authority. His authority was derived from God himself. It was coming from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look with me in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1. Galatians 1:1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. That is the title. I mean, that is the description of his apostleship. He is an apostle, not by man, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God, by the Father who raised Christ from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the Apostle Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. The Bible says in John 15, verse number 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. If you ask anything of my Father, he may give it to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is, giving this to his apostles, to his disciples, telling us that we are not really the ones choosing God. We are the ones chosen by God. We are not here in the church because we want to. But we are here in the church because God wants us to. I hope that you will realize this, that again, it is not because of your own goodness that you become part of the family of God. It is not because of your own, cleverness that the gospel. Nothing there in our own mind, nothing there in our own hands that we will be able to attain salvation. But rather, because of the mercies of God, we have obtained it. We have obtained, not attained, but obtain salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the will of God. It is by the will of God. That is Apostle Paul's description of himself, the description of the Lord Jesus. Now, further on, in verse number 1 of our text, in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1, notice here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now, Apostle Paul also described Timothy. And you can see there is this special affection the apostle had for Timothy. And I cannot really blame Apostle Paul, because when you see a young person that really loves the Lord, you know, me as a pastor, if I see a young person that loves the Lord, I'll tell you, I would desire that this young man will just continue on, and he will just, live for the rest of his life for the Lord. And we have that desire to see our young people, focus on the things of God. Timothy right here, He was described by the Apostle Paul. And in fact, he describes Timothy as his brother. Isn't here? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy is our brother. He called Timothy his brother. But actually, in other passages of Scripture, he called Timothy his son in the faith, his dearly beloved son. Notice that in First Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2. First Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2, he said, "Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord." He calls Timothy his own son. Perhaps we call that because maybe it was Apostle Paul who shared the gospel to Timothy. Perhaps Timothy, while growing up under the care of Louis and Eunice, the mother and grandmother, raising Timothy to be a Christian, but not really knowing the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Apostle Paul came along and then shared the gospel and opened the minds and hearts of Timothy, and Timothy gives his life to the Lord Jesus, and therefore Timothy became the son in the faith of Apostle Paul. So the same thing is true with me. Yeah, I share the gospel to so many of you, and you are my son in the faith by the grace of God. And also someone shared the gospel to me, and that person that shared the gospel to me, I became his son in the faith. And again, here, Apostle Paul called Timothy his son in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." You understand that Apostle Paul called Timothy his dear son in the faith. But in Colossians, you can see that Apostle Paul called him dearly beloved or beloved brother. And in to understand fully well, what is really Timothy? Is he the son of Paul biologically or in the flesh? The answer to that is no. Apostle Paul did not call Timothy his own son biologically or in the flesh, because Timothy was a son whose father was a Greek. And it is found in Acts chapter 16, verse number 1 and 2. Acts 16, verse number 1. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." So Timothy was a son to a Greek person. And also his mother, we know that it is Eunice, and grandmother is Louis. Now, we do not know about the family well, because it is, you know, not recorded in the scripture what happened there, whether the man left the family and then Timothy was raised by the grandmother and the mother. But whatever the circumstances, it's not the situation now. But what I want you to see in verse number 3 is very, very important. It said here in verse number 3, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him." You know, when you have someone like this, when you see a young person like this, that is, he just loves the ministry. He loves the word of God. He loves soul winning. He loves the souls of men. And he wants to share the gospel. And I will tell you, if you are like that, you will like this person. Young Timothy is Paul's favorite to travel in a mission with. Whenever they go to mission, he's thinking of bringing with him Timothy. And I can see and I can share this kind of attitude Whenever, maybe if I go to mission, I can bring along someone with me, a young person with me that loves the Lord, a young person with me that loves the Word of God, loves the Gospel, and someone that is willing to learn the things that God has taught me. Someone that is willing to learn the way that God, you know, wanting to do the ministry. You know, sometimes when the person is growing older in the ministry, they have their own mind. They do their own things. And they do not follow their teacher. They will create their own things. But I will tell you, Timothy is not like that. That is why Apostle Paul, he said, verse number 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. He loves to bring Timothy with him because of the attitude of the heart of Timothy. Timothy just loves to do the ministry and learn from Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul. You see, the pastors normally would take notice upon these young people. And these young people, we observe, you know, later also in your life, in the Christian ministry, you will observe among the people in the church, you observe who among the youth, what are their interests, what are the things that are important to them. If you see that among the youth, what's important to them is souls to be saved. What's important to them is the ministry and to establish the word. Oh, I'll tell you, Apostle Paul loved to see that. Apostle Paul would have to go forth with him. Timothy is always like, very special to Apostle Paul because of his love of an affection of the ministry. So that was his description of Timothy. And also Apostle Paul continued on. He also has description of Epaphras. I mean, before Epaphras, let's take a look at his description of the Colossians. The Colossians people in verse number two, it said here, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. These people are faithful. These people are called saints. He addresses them as saints. In verse number 2. In other words, every Christian is a saint. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are a saint. God places us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately, we became Christians. We became saints. And that is the description there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in your heart, then the Holy Spirit of God indwells in you. You are now belonging to Christ. You are now bound to go to heaven. You are God's possession. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 21. Philippians 4:21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Again, when we become saved, we became saints. And it's amazing that we are called saints by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called saints by the Apostle Paul. We are called saints in the Bible, contrary to the traditional belief that saints are canonized by the church. No saints can be called saint until he is dead, and then the church will canonize. But that is the Catholic way. But in the Bible, it doesn't have to be dead. You don't have to be dead. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, then you are called saint. Because when Apostle Paul addressed this letter to the people at Colossae, those people who are not dead. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 2. Those are the people that are not dead. He said here again, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are. That is present tense. In other words, those people who come to church, those people who join in a church in Colossae, those people who attend services in the church, those people who listen to the preaching of the church every Sunday and whatever day the church is open for service. So that is what the Bible says. You become saint if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice again this verse. It's very simple to understand. In Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. So those believers presently coming to church, joining a church, and attending church at Colossae. That can be addressed to us today. That can be addressed to each one of us. For those faithful brethren that are coming to attend church at Mount Zion Bible Baptist Church. That is us present. And Apostle Paul called them saints. Why? Because Jesus Christ indwells in them. The Holy Spirit indwells in them. You see, he addresses these people as saints. And he speaks of these people, their steadfastness. What is the word steadfastness? The other word of steadfastness is faithfulness. Steadfast. They are not easily wavering. They are not easily, carried away. They are strong in their devotion. They are strong. They are fighting against the flesh. They are fighting against their problems just to come to church. No matter what the schedule they may have, the church is their priority. They are steadfast. They are faithful. They are faithful in everything. When it is for the Lord, they are faithful. We know that they have also work. We know that they also have things in their homes, in their houses. They have children to raise. But they come to church. No matter what happened, they will come to church. And they are steadfast. They are faithful. And again, in the church, in all the churches, there are people that are faithful. And there are also people that are not faithful. But I hope and pray that we will only look in what way that we can be also faithful. Because in our church, or any church, or even in a New Testament church, there are faithful Christians and there are unfaithful Christians. Now, when you look at them, look at those faithful so that you can learn their ways. That is why it's important to have the testimony, of our brothers. Whenever we see people in the church, despite of their difficulties in life, they still come to church. Why? Because, you know, that is a testimony. They have a lot of things to go through in life. They have a lot of things to attend to, and yet they come to church. They are steadfast. They are faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, an encouragement to those who are faithful, because there will be a blessing ahead of them, coming to them. In the future, there will be a blessing awaiting them. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. So Apostle Paul encouraged the people to be faithful. Brethren, just be faithful. He said, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, there is blessing awaiting you in the future. Do not let go of your faithfulness. Do not let go of your devotion. Do not let go of your faithfulness in the church, because the Lord can use you in the church. Me as a pastor, I will not allow a Christian that is not faithful to do anything in the ministry, because What has the person to show? What has the person to teach? He will teach the unfaithfulness in the church? No. We only allow people that are faithful to do the work because they have something to teach. You don't have to have a very, you know, a good command in English. You don't have to have strong knowledge of the doctrinal position of the church. Even though you do not know much about the doctrine, even though you do not know much about, you know, but as long as you can see in your life faithfulness. I remember Pastor Ribaton when he came. Pastor Ribaton, I pray for him because he's in the hospital for COVID and his wife, Mom Zinia. Pastor Ribaton came here and gave the testimony, a very beautiful testimony of an old lady. That old lady, she has a garden. She has a garden. And she wants pastor to come every week. Every week she requested, pastor, please come, please come. And her house is not close to the church, it's far from the church. And sometimes she could not come to church because she is old. But she has a garden. And she planted in her garden, you know, vegetables. And what she did is she will harvest every day. She will harvest and then take it to the market and sold it. She sells her vegetables to the market. And you can tell that how much money she got every day or every time that she goes to the market. Because she separates her money. She separates her money. She knows how to get the tithe of her money. She sold something, 10 pesos. She takes 1 peso separated. And her money is accumulating. The tithes and offering is accumulating. And sometimes pastor could not go there. So she will request pastor to come. And right there, she already, when Pastor Ribaton comes to her house, she already prepared the tithes. She already accumulated that, put that into a bag or an envelope, a big envelope, coins and everything. Just, you know, how much is that? How much she sold the vegetables? She takes away the tithes and she puts in there in that envelope, in that bag. And in that envelope, she puts there, she wrote T-I-T-S. If you read it, it's tits. But to her, it is tights. She doesn't know how to spell tights, but she knows how to give tights. Many of us, we know how to spell tithes, but we do not know how to give tithes. I think that woman is better than us. She knows how to give her tithes. And Pastor Ribaton is really, you know, humble to have a member like that. Not a big money. You know, it's not a big money. What, you know, there's not much to expect, but you can tell the heart of the woman. She loves the Lord. She wants to come to church, but she could not come all the time because if it is in Auckland, she will be in our church every Sunday. Why? Because I can ask Brother Tim or Brother Matthew to pick them up. Because I have people I can ask to pick up people if they do not have transportation. But in that place, she could not come to church all the time, but she is so faithful. That is faithfulness. And that is why Apostle Paul here, he speaks of the faithfulness of these people, and he encouraged people, be steadfast, unmovable. Do not be moved. When you lose your job, do not be moved. If you lose hours in your job and your income drop, do not be moved. If there is a recession and you are out of job, do not be moved. He said that is what Apostle Paul said here. Beloved, be steadfast, unmovable. And in fact, he encouraged people to always abound. Always abound. You've been faithful the year before, be the more faithful now in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, he speaks of faithfulness, and also he speaks of a new relationship. Apostle Paul, in verse number 2, notice here, verse number 2, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, Apostle Paul speaks of these people in Colossae. Maybe in our understanding that he had not been to Colossae and he just heard of this beautiful testimony of so many faithful men and women in the church at Colossae. But if given that he has not been into the church, but I will tell you here, the Apostle Paul was talking about these people and their new relationship with these people. He called them brethren. He called them their brothers and sisters. Maybe he has not seen them in the face, but they are brothers and sisters. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ also called us brethren in Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 2, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call us as brethren. We are all children in the family of God. Therefore, we are all brothers and sisters. Apostle Paul speaks of this faithfulness, speaks of new relationship, and he speaks also of them as believers. Why? Because they have faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse number 4 in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:4, it says there, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And you can see faith in the Lord Jesus. They are believers. And again, faith must not only be initial, trusting Christ for salvation, but it must be ongoing. It must be comprehensive. The Bible says there in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is our trademark. That is the reason why we are assured that we are saved. Because we are now living by faith. That is the assurance. But actually, there are people who are not faithful to the Lord. They doubt their salvation because they are not faithful. And that is the beauty of faithfulness. It erases doubts. And those people who are not faithful, they have doubts. Although they are saved, because if they are indeed, they receive Jesus Christ in their heart, they are saved, and yet doubts will come in. It's because they are not faithful. The blessing of faithfulness is assurance. You have the assurance if you are faithful. And if you are not faithful, your own mind will condemn you. Your own mind will have these doubts, and then you will have no peace within your heart. That is the reason why we have the assurance. And again, Apostle Paul was speaking about, he mentions about their love. These people, they really love the Lord. These people, they love the people. They love each one. I do not know if you have experienced this in your life, that you have love of the brethren, you love the people of the church, no matter what they are and who they are, you just love them, you just enjoy and thanking God for them. I hope that you have done that, that whenever you see someone in the church, someone new, quietly in your heart, you will say, Lord, thank you for this brother. Lord, thank you for this sister. Lord, thank you that I see brother so-and-so in the church. Lord, thank you that I see sister so-and-so in the church. We thank the Lord. We love the brethren. If you come to church and then leave and then not talking to God about what you have seen in the church, that is not the clear demonstration of love. Because if you love the brethren, you will talk to God. Lord, thank you that I'm in the church. Lord, thank you that I see the brothers and sisters in the church. You have to thank the Lord. That is our, demonstration of our love. Notice here in Galatians. I will read again verse number 4. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and notice again, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. This is not really very common, because not so many people in the church love the people in the church. They come to church, maybe they want to come to God. They come to church, maybe because they want to be a part of the group. They come to church, maybe because they want to just be a part there. Because it is his Christian duty there. But no, not these people. They love the brethren. They love the people. You see, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And you see, he mentions about love. Galatians 5, 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This is exactly the kind of demonstration of love that they have in their church. They have faith that works by love. And Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another. So it is really God's will that every time that we come to church, we will love one another. We will extend our love. We will extend our prayers to one another, the care for one another. In your prayer, do not just pray for yourself. Do not just pray for your family. Do not just pray for your parents or your children. Do not just pray for your own activities. Pray for one another. That is how to demonstrate that love. That you really care about the situation of other believers. He said here, and in verse number 12, it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Apostle Paul mentions love. He mentions the love of these people towards one another. And also he says these Christians were filled with hope. If there are people that are hopeful in this world, that's us. That is why we are joyful. That is why we are very, optimistic of the future. That is why we are on the side of victory. That is why we are winning. Because we have hope in the Lord Jesus. Go back to our text, Colossians 1, verse number 5. for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that saved our souls, the good news of salvation that we have, that brings us hope, and that hope will make us, you know, triumphant in this life. We have hope. Christians were filled with hope. And again, we rejoice in our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are filled with this hope. And our fears, our doubt will all vanish. I hope that you have no doubts today. I hope you have no fear today. What I feel in my heart is not feeling, but it's from the Word of God. I have all the assurance, no doubt at all, that God will give us victory, that God will give us, a bright future in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world will go into darkness. This world will crumble. This world will go through tribulation. But my hope is not in this world. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we rejoice. You see, and also he describes these people in Colossae as the faithful Christians. They are fruitful Christians. They are fruitful because they are faithful. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 6. Verse number 6, it says, which is common to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and know the grace of God in truth. These people are fruitful. This is God's will for each one of us. God wants you to be faithful so that God can make you fruitful. And when you become fruitful, you will be the more faithful. God wants us to be fruitful. John chapter 15, verse number 4. John 15, verse number 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That is what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. Abide in the Lord. Be faithful in the Lord. Cling unto the Lord. Whatever happens, make the Lord Jesus Christ the priority in your life. Make your devotion to the Lord Jesus a priority. All other things are just secondary. The most important thing is not our wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend. The most important thing is the Lord Jesus. And everything else will just come into place. The Lord Jesus is the most important thing. John 15, verse number 8. Verse number 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, if you are not bearing fruit, the only reason to that is you are not being a disciple to the Lord. If you become a disciple to the Lord, you will become surely, and that is exactly what it is, fruitful. You can never become fruitful if you are not a disciple. But you can tell that someone is not a disciple because they are not fruitful. When you become a disciple, you will become fruitful. That is a given thing. It cannot be not. There must be fruit if you are abiding in the vine. If you are a branch and you are attached to the vine, whatever other fruit here, this branch will also bear fruit. It cannot be not. This branch cannot bear fruit if that branch is severed or detached from the branch. Because we are disciples of the Lord Jesus, we should bring forth much fruit. It is impossible for you not to bear fruit. The only reason why we don't bear fruit, because we are not attached to the vine. And that is what, one thing that we need to think about and say to the Lord, Lord, why I am not fruitful? The answer to that, you are not attached to the vine. You are not God's disciple. You are not disciple of the Lord Jesus. How many people got saved in your Christian life? How many people you have won to the Lord in your Christian life? If there is none, maybe you are not a disciple. You are saved, but your fellowship is severed from the branch. You need to have that, you know, you have to get that nutrients from the branch and from the vine. You cannot bear fruit without the Lord Jesus. No one will get saved in your life if you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Oh, pastor, I am a member of the church. I am a disciple of Pastor so-and-so. Okay, you are a disciple of Pastor so-and-so, but you are not a disciple of Christ. You must be first and foremost a disciple of Christ, and then you will bear fruit. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, Apostle Paul described his people fruitful Christians. They are fruitful because they are faithful Christians, faithful to the Lord. And again, the last description here that he made, not just a description about the Colossians, a description about the Lord Jesus, a description of Paul himself, a description of Timothy. Last one here, a description of Epaphras. Epaphras is mentioned in verse number 7. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 7. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared to us your love in the saints. Now he was Paul's dear fellow servant. Among us in our church, we have people in our church that really work hard. And we know among the people in the church who are these people that are really working hard. And they are our dear fellow servant. These people, they are making themselves available for others. They bestowed labor. They have their own problems in their own personal lives, but they put aside their problems because they want to serve one another. You see, when we arrive to this church, building, the chairs are already set up. When we leave this church, this building, someone will clean up, someone will pack up the chairs and you know, so that we will not be fined. We will not pay unnecessary fees. Each one of this chair, if it is not stacked up properly, I think it's $2. If you leave this chair somewhere there, we will receive an invoice. We have to pay because it's not properly done. But we do not pay any for many years that we are using halls. Why? Because there are people, fellow servants. There are people who look after us so that we can go free and then come free. So that our church will not be burdened with so much fees, unnecessary fees. You see, Epaphras is a fellow servant. And we can see that there are many servants in our church too. Many, many people in our church that are serving us. They are literally, literally serving us. And we praise the Lord for them. And I hope also that if you think that you have not been serving one another, you can do also the same. Because our church is for all of us. Opportunity for us to demonstrate our love for God. Because we love the Lord, we serve people. Because we love the Lord, we serve one another. Epaphras was Paul's dear fellow servant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, as even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted Apollos water, But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You see, when you come to church and you help, you labor. But I will tell you also, other people also labor. But I tell you also, God, our God, also labored. We are all laborers. We are all God's servants. We are all servants of one another. There's no pride here. We are all. If you want to be a leader in our church, you are the servant of all. If you want to become great in our church, be willing to roll up your sleeves and do the dirty job. Because that is what Christ is telling us. But here, Epaphras is the same. Epaphras is a servant of the church. And he said here, in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 21, this Epaphras was a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is what God requires of each one of us. He said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Are you faithful in little things in the church? I will tell you, God will make you faithful in big things. The Lord will make you faithful, fruitful, and the Lord will commend you over those big things. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Epaphras was a faithful servant and he was a proclaimer of love. I believe he's a preacher and he preached about the love of God. He preached about humility. He preached about servanthood. He preached about things. And again, it is for all of us to understand today. Let us speak well of others. Let us declare the love of the Spirit in others. Let us encourage one another to provoke and to love and of good works, so that in the end, our God, our Father, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be glorified in our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven,